Well, good morning, church family. It's the first Sunday in June. You know what that means? It's the first Sunday in June. And we're so glad you decided to join us. It's also Move Up Sunday. So today's service is going to go just a little bit different here at the start. And I ask you to bear with us because we want to take some time to honor some people today, and it's going to be good. If you're a first-time guest with us, thank you for being with us today. This is a little bit of a different service, but it'll be fine. We'll get right through it, and you'll be blessed by the end of it, I promise. We want to welcome all of you, including our live streamers. If you're joining us via live stream, thank you for being with us today. We're going to have a fantastic service, and you're going to be a part of it. I want to remind you guys, if you are a first-time guest, we have first-time guest cards in the back of the pew in front of you. It's the biggest card in those little card holders. If you would grab one of those, fill it out for us. We'd just like to know who you are, what your name is, and be able to pray for you. So if you'd fill that out, you can drop it in the offering bucket, or you can turn it into one of our volunteers out at the Welcome Center, and we'd love to pray for you. There are two communion tables available for you during worship. There's one on the left side of the stage and one on the right. If at any point during worship you or your family would like to partake of communion, you are welcome to do that. We do communion as a church once a month, but we want to have it available for you every service. Got two quick announcements, and then we're going to move into the move on, the move up Sunday portion of this. First announcement is we're going to be having a night of prayer here at the church on June 15th from 6:30 to 7:30. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe that prayer changes lives, and so we're going to dedicate 1 hour this coming month to join together as church just to seek the face of God, and we want to encourage you to join us. And then also, if you're interested, there are three Christian schools, local Christian schools, out in the lobby today. They're there for you. If you'd like to get information about the Christian schools that are options for you and your students, we want to encourage you. Go check them out, see what they have to offer, and maybe that's where you'll enroll your student next year. So they are right out in the lobby with tables set up. You can't miss them. All right, we're going to move right now into the move up portion of this. So Pastor Randy's coming up. We're going to start with Children's Church and work our way up.
Yeah, what's up, Pastor Tim? Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Did he wake you up or did he put you to sleep? There, asleep. Did you hear all your youth over there? Asleep. That's not good. That's not good. That's okay, though. All right. Move up Sunday. Let's see. Whoever is going from the four-year-olds, or if you're four and you're moving to kindergarten this fall, I want you to come up on stage, all right? If you're four-year-old, but you're moving to kindergarten, come on up on stage. You're moving to the big kindergarten class. Come on up here. And parents or grandparents, you can come up too if you want to. Shane's going to be moving to kindergarten. Praise the Lord. His wife is so happy. Come on up here, beautiful. Come on. Awesome. How are you doing? Good. What's your name?
Kennedy.
Who?
Kennedy.
Kennedy, what is that on your dress today?
A unicorn.
A unicorn. Do unicorns exist?
Yeah.
Who told you that?
My dad.
Your dad. We'll talk to your dad later. It's great, Kennedy. Awesome. All right. Who's next up here? Who's going into kindergarten? Come on. Come on up. You're going tomorrow? Kennedy, are you excited?
I'm going to kindergarten when I'm bigger.
When you're bigger? Okay, all right. All you have to do, Kennedy, you have an advantage. All you have to do is put some high heels on and you'll be bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love her. Awesome. Are you coming up? Grandpa, are you going to come up with her? Or Paul, or whatever they call you? Old man? I don't know what they call you. So you bring, come on up, beautiful. Come on. Anybody else? I know there's a lot more than this going into kindergarten. Anybody else? Come over here. Come on. Come on. You ready? You coming on over? Come on over, Chris, with her. That's fine. It's okay. It's all good. Excellent. No problem. Good deal. And where's Miss, let's see, who is going to be our kindergarten teacher today? That is going to be Miss Charity. So she will be... No, that's going to be, Miss Charity. She's going to be over there. We'll dismiss there. Anybody else in kindergarten? Last call. Going into kindergarten. Who's 4 years old? Going into kindergarten. Who? Who? Who are you? Yeah, I hear you. That sounds fun. And you're how old?
I'm five.
You're five. Okay, and how old are you today? Oh, my. She's not going to say anything. All right, Pastor, come on up here. Where's Pastor at? Come on up here, Pastor. Pastor Phyllis. Come on up here. All right. Kennedy, you ready to get prayed for? All right, you ready to get prayed for? Our senior pastors are going to pray over you guys today, okay? Come on over here, baby. Come on, Chris, come on over here with her. Very good. All right, it's okay. Okay, let's pray.
Go ahead, Randy.
You want me to pray? All right. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And God, we agree together as touching. God, we thank you for these wonderful children, Lord God, that are growing up in the Lord. God, who have great parents and or grandparents and family, God, who help them, God, show them the way. Lord, we thank you for speaking to these children even now, Lord God, showing them the path and the plan that you have for their life. God, I just thank you that they will grow in you and that, God, everything that they are taught and learned, Father, by our team here at this church, the word will not return void into their lives. God, they are smart. I thank you they are wise even beyond their years today, God. I thank you for giving them wisdom, giving their parents, God, and their grandparents wisdom, God, on how to raise them in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. And God, I thank you that I plead the blood over their lives, over their bodies, over their minds. God, I thank you that they are yours. The devil has no hold on them, will have no hold on them, cannot touch them. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for it. That, God, they will be the light in the dark world, even at this age, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory. All right. Okay, guys, over here in this corner, over here in this corner, if you'll walk right over there, Kennedy, you listen, right over there. See that flag? Go right over there where that flag is, okay? And you guys are going to go straight to your new classroom today. Yeah, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. She's like, where am I going? Hallelujah. All right, now then, if you have been in the, first grade class, and you're headed up to second grade this fall, if you've been in first grade and you're going to second grade this fall, come on up. Going into second grade this fall, come on up here. Come on up. Yes, hallelujah. Wow, hi guys, how you doing? Are you good, Mia?
Yes.
Yes. Come on up. You're in first grade and you're going into second grade. Come on up here. Oh, come on up. Come on up. Hey, Kennedy, Grandpa's over there. You forgot your book bag. She forgot her book bag. Hey, Grandpa's got it. Kennedy, Grandpa's got it right there. All right. Come on up. First grade, going into second grade. Come on up, big boy. Come on. Let's go. Amen. How are you guys doing? Are you happy? Jocelyn, are you excited?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you really excited? Hey, who's one of the best teachers back in kids' church? She don't know. It's because she hadn't listened to me yet. No, just teasing. Now, are you guys doing okay?
Good.
Good. Are you excited?
Yes.
Yeah. How are you doing, sir?
Good.
All right, what are you doing? Evan, you good?
Yes.
All right, how are you doing, Mia?
Good.
Oh, good. Are you excited to go on up? Smile, that's it. Are you happy? Huh? Yes, of course you are. All right, guys. You guys are headed into what grade? Second grade. And you're excited? Yes. All right, very good. All right, come on up here, Pastor. Come on up here, Pastor Phyllis. Pastor Nicole, come on up here. I know that you haven't had a second grader. We haven't had a second grader in our life for a very long time. It would be nice to go back to second graders sometimes because our 16-year-old is 16 today. Quentin is 16 today. Wow. My gosh. Lord Jesus. By the way, have you bought him a car yet?
Who?
Quentin.
No.
No? Shucks. Great. Here we go. So much for grandparents, right? All right. Are you ready to pray, guys?
Yeah.
All right, come on over here. Come on, Asher. Come on, get over here. Get closer with Mom. Come on over here, Mom. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for these second graders. Oh, God, we thank you for putting them in positions, God, that they will honor you. God, that they will say no to the devil and the situations that arise. They will be strong, Lord God. Strong, God, not only in their physicality, but God, strong spiritually. God, I thank you, Father, mentally and physically. Lord God, they will be able to withstand the devil, say no to his tactics. God, I thank you for wisdom, Father, in all these kids in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you so much, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, the words that they hear and, Father, at home, the guidance that they receive, the word that is instilled into their hearts, Lord God, will not return void. That God, as they grow up, they will learn, they will know how to defeat and combat the devil and other people and other so-called friends that try to lead them down the wrong path. God, I thank you, Father, that they will know how to rightly divide the word of God in the name of Jesus. For it is so important, God, in these last days. God, I thank you, Father, they will be leaders. They will not be followers. God, in their school, in their home, and in their neighborhoods, Lord God. Father, I thank you that the love that they have and the words that they speak will even turn the hardest of hearts in their family, God. And that they will want to serve the Lord. I thank you for them today, God. And I thank you that they will grow quickly in your word and knowledge. God, I thank you for protection over their lives. I plead the blood over their lives and their families' lives as well. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise for it. Amen and amen. All right, guys. Praise the Lord. Flag right over there. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, anybody now that has been in the fourth grade and is moving up to the youth or going to fifth grade, come on up right now. Anybody that's in the fourth grade and moving up to, don't come up so quick. Jeez, you guys excited to get out of my class or what? Huh? Did you say no? Say it out loud so everybody can hear you.
No.
This guy. Parents, he needs to have a free dinner today, whatever he wants. All right, Texas Roadhouse, right? Yeah, baby. Owen, are you glad to get out of my class? Kind of. That's it. That's it. How you doing, big boy? You good? All right, you ready to go to fifth grade? You are? You guys ready to go to... Why is all the boys on one side and the girls on the other side? This is how we do it in slam class. Boys against the girls. All right. So, girls, are you excited? I already know.
Yes, I can't wait to grow up and get out of the slam class because I'm old. I'm just mature, right?
Yes, that face. It's a face only a mother could love. Hallelujah. All right. Are you guys ready? Yeah? Are you guys ready, guys? All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, come on closer, come on closer, come on closer. I know you guys, boys have cooties, I get it still. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these kids. God, they're growing up. God, their personalities are coming out, expanding, God, changing. Oh, Father, they are turning into who God wants them to be. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Father, that they will change the world, Lord God, just as Paul and the disciples did, God. They will turn the world upside down for you because they love you, Lord God, and they want to do what you have called them to do. God, we thank you for the gifts and talents that are even now, Father, coming out, God, letting them know what they're going to be in this life. God, I thank you so much that they will have influence in their schools, in their neighborhoods, Lord God, and even at home. Father, with their parents and their grandparents. God, I thank you that through these lives, God, people's lives will be changed, set free, delivered, healed, and even salvations, Father, through the hands of these kids. God, I thank you they will love you all the days of their life and that they will hate sin all the days of their life. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for putting people around them, kids around them, parents around them, God, that will love them, show them the right way and the right path, God. I plead the blood of life or the blood of Christ over their life right now on all these kids. The devil, you're a loser. You're a liar. I thank you for health, God, in their bodies as well. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you that their minds, Father, will be right. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. All right, guys. Youth class, enjoy. We'll see you. Wow. Thank you. I get two out of there.
All right. Awesome. Actually, our new fifth graders, you guys stay in here.
Fifth graders. Come on back.
For praise and worship.
Come on back. Fifth graders.
It's part of growing up into the youth ministry, so
yes.
We're excited for you. Quick announcement before we get into the next group we're praying for. We want to do something special for our seniors that are graduating out, and so we've put together a video. I want to just start off by, if we missed you, I apologize. We did our best to make sure that we didn't miss anyone. But if we did miss you and you are a graduating senior this year from high school, we want you to know that we still want to pray for you. We want to bless you as well. As this video plays, seniors, as you're up on the screen, if you would get up from your seat and walk down and make your way to the platform. That way, by the time the video is done, you'll already be here. That would be fantastic. But if you guys would, here's a little highlight of our graduating seniors this year. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, we're super proud of this group of kids. Yeah, absolutely. So you guys can continue to give a standing ovation for their parents who did all the hard work of raising them, grandparents, their family. This was a rough batch. I'm just kidding. Anyways, we're super excited about all of them and their future plans. These are kids that love Jesus, are committed to following Jesus and carrying Jesus into the world. And so it's been an honor. And Pastor, if you and Pastor Phyllis want to come and bless them and pray over them, that'd be great.
Oh, no, I let the pros in. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, are you glad to be graduates?
Yes.
Now you get to see why your parents are so miserable. They got to work. Hallelujah. Join hands one with another. And before I pray, let me say this. We are proud of you. We are proud of you. We are. We are just proud of what you have become. Praise God. Do you know you're going to look like your dad? Okay. All right. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for these graduates. God, they start a new path, a new road that they've never traveled. God, a road where the responsibility of being a light to the world will increase. God, we ask that you touch them, use them, and anoint them. God, let a spirit of excellence be upon them, that God, they'll be able to receive knowledge, attain it, and retain it, and God, use it. That God, they can change lives. Give them all favor, promote them, God, be with them, keep them pure. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
We also want to ask, are there any college graduates here this morning that you say, I graduated college? We just want to recognize you this morning as well. We know this is something that sometimes gets overlooked, but if you've graduated just this year, we just want to pray for you as well and acknowledge your hard work. All right, just making sure we didn't miss anybody. All right, LeMaster?
Yeah, we got to finish dismissing all the children, and we can move on to service. So if you're in the two-year-olds, all your two-year-olds' parents, if you want to help send them back to class, you can take them back to your two-year-old class, three-year-olds as well, and any other children that are here, you can just line up over here at this door, and we will get them to class where they go. Thank you, everybody. God bless you.
All right, very good. We thank you for taking the time with us.
Hallelujah. Let's stand our feet. If you have not recognized it or been told, you have entered into a Pentecostal charismatic church. We believe in the nine gifts of the Spirit as revealed to us in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. In this service, you may hear someone bring forth a word of prophecy. It will be confined to edification, comfort, and exhortation. You may hear someone speak in tongues up front, and they will interpret that tongue. That is simply a gift where God speaks to men in an understandable language, and then we interpret that we may glean what God wants to say to us. And then you may hear people speaking in tongues to themselves. It's absolutely accepted in our services. And then, as all Pentecostals do, we do shout, we do lift our hands, we do praise like Jesus is Lord. So we encourage you, get your hands ready, open up your heart, and let's sing with all we've got to Jesus.
on, let's sing that this morning.
Grave behind me, shake the dust off, run to Jesus.
Oh, grave behind me.
Your glory, God, is worthy. faith this morning, we're going to sing this bridge that declares for chains to fall, for fear of any kind to bow at the feet of Jesus. Because here, lives are healed today. Hope is found today in this house. Hope is found today. And there's one name for hope. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. There's one name that everything will bow at, and his name is Jesus. It is the only name that is above every other name. It is the only name that fear will bow to. It is the only name that chains will fall at the mention of the name of Jesus. So let's sing this today, church. Chains fall.
Chains fall, fear bows here and now. Jesus, you'll change everything. Lives healed and hope is found right here, right now. Jesus, you'll change everything. Chains fall.
Family, I want to read a few scriptures out of 2 Corinthians 9. This is tithe and offering time. Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Verse 10, now he that ministers seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. I also want to share out of Proverbs 11, 24. It says that there is he that scattereth and yet increase, and there is he that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. In verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. I believe these scriptures I just shared with you makes it very clear that if you give, it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Sometimes if you're going through a challenging season in your financial life, it may be that you want to withhold and not give and maybe hold back. But the scripture tells us to give and it'll be given to us. And I just want to encourage all of you today that do not let circumstances that you have in your life or what the future may look like, don't allow that to have any effect on your tithes and offering. It's very important that we have a prayer life, we listen to the Holy Spirit, and listen to the Holy Spirit what we should be giving above our tithe. The Word makes it very clear we're to tithe, which is off of our increase, which is 10%. But the Word also says we give above. You want to know how much more above? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you to give? You know, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus comes to give life, give it more abundantly. And one of the ways the enemy comes against us is in our finances. But we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And we win and we have the victory over all of it. But the way we have the victory is by operating His written word. And that means that we give even if we don't think we're in position to give or circumstances look like we should. We should give regardless because that's what God's word says. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to look at short-term circumstances instead of the long haul as far as our walk with God. And this can apply in any area. But in our finances, you might be given and say, well, God didn't give me a return on that in, you know, the days or the weeks or the months you was expecting. But we're in it for the long haul. We're in it for the duration. And God says if we cast our bread upon the water, it's going to return. We need to believe His word for our life. You know, sometimes you just kind of examine yourself. Do you believe that the word of God applies to your personal circumstances and applies to you? Sometimes it's easy to say, yeah, I believe the word. But you might think it's easy to believe it's for that other person that looks like he's blessed and prospered. You have no idea what's going on in their life. You know, they might be going through tough times, but they're not going to tell you about it. But they know that God's works. God's word works. And it'll work for you if you believe it well. You know, it's important to look in the mirror and just say, I'm blessed. I'm an overcomer. I've got the victory. God's going to meet all of my needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Believe His word is for you individually. And if you believe that, you're going to see that He meet all your needs. He's going to bless you abundantly. Amen. You can bring out the buckets while I'm praying. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank You for Your written word, and we thank You that it works for each of us. God, we thank You that we're going to sow today what You're laying on our heart, not only our tithes, but we're going to sow above what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us to give. God, we thank You that Your blessing works in each of our lives. God, we thank You that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. We thank You that every tongue rises against us in judgment, Thou shalt condemn. That's our heritage as Your children. Lord, we are Your children. I'm Your son, and I'm blessed according to Your word. Father, I thank You for Your blessings overtaking us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I bind and break the spirit of fear in people's lives. And Lord, we speak faith that the word of God works in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You can bring your offering.
Now? There. Hallelujah. Well, my name is Peter Dosik. And I am the pastor of this church. And I approve everything I'm going to say. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse 17. We are living in what the Bible calls dangerous times. Very, very dangerous times. It is dangerous physically, certainly, but it's also dangerous in our spiritual relationships with God. Our faith in Christ is under assault by friends and by foes, those that are without and those that are within. Hebrews 13, 17, and it says, obey them that have the rule over you. This simply means the man that God has set in the house. We looked last week at the man of God. And then it says, over you, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy. So there's two parts. I get to be accountable unto Jesus, and you ought to get rid of attitudes and get joy in your heart. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just telling you that it's terrible when pastors are vexed. Phyllis and I just heard of another pastor leaving the ministry in our area. 4,000 of them leave ministry, usually on a Monday, because of the disappointment that the congregations reflect to them. Now, I am a gift of God. And what you do unto me, you do it unto Him. I am an under-shepherd. Therefore, I watch for your souls, and I will give an account thereof. And it says, I should be able to do that with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Do you know that you can be in a house where people are abounding and still be stagnant and withering? Amen. Amen. Yep, thank God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say something, and I'd like to read out of Luke 6:46. And I'm going to get into some interesting things today. But Luke 6:46, it says these words. Can I have that on the screen, guys? 6:46. There you go. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I'm not a stupid rock. What does that mean to you? Come on, take account of what you think it means. Because in this lies the power of your eternity. Talk is cheap. Christianity requires nonetheless of everything you are. It means that you and I live by this unchangeable, unadulterated, unalterative gospel. This right here. If it says you're a pig, then you're a pig. If it says you're an eagle, then you're an eagle. If it says that sin is wrong, then sin is wrong. Amen. Could I get an amen? Amen? Now you understand that this is what we live by. You cannot declare that Jesus is Lord of your life without being a doer of the word. That means we are all subject to its scrutiny and its truth. Now, it goes on down to say, next verse, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently. It had a purpose upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. So now we know that Jesus' sayings are the rock. And next verse, he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Here we see an unveiling of really what life is filled with: storms. They are filled with spiritual storms, soulish storms, emotional, relational, all types of storms come our way. The only sure, unchallengeable, unchangeable place to be and to be exercising and living in is the Scripture. Could I get an amen? Amen. Now, the man that lives by the Scripture, or the woman lives by the Scripture, they get to declare that Jesus is Lord. They get rewarded for that with the thing called eternal life. In other words, people finish the course, run the race, henceforth is laid up for them, and that is laid up for them, all that do live righteous. Righteous simply means you do what the Word tells you to do. Amen. We understand that 3 John, the second chapter, says that, beloved, God wishes above everything that you be blessed and be in health. Now, that's a fact. It's not a great dream. It is a fact. That's what God believes. Acts 3, 22, 24 through 26 says that Jesus came to die for your sins that he might bless you. Now, that is God's purpose for our life. But you understand that the devil is not taking a nap while we are on planet Earth. Amen. So now let's get into the message, which hopefully you'll be more excited about. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Now, what is my job? To watch for your soul. Now, I have a real good outlay of what I'm supposed to do as a pastor. It says in 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. Somebody say reprove. Reprove. Now, I have a command to do that. To do less would be less than what God had called me to be. It says that I am to reprove. I am to rebuke. I am to exhort, to get right, to move on, and that with all long suffering and, somebody say doctrine. Doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. This is one of the great desires of man today, is that we get to hear and have our ears tickled by men and women that have no resolve about the saving of your soul. And then it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto what?
Fables.
Fables. Fables are ideas, sayings, a fictionary story. It means something that is invented that substantiates falsehood. Now, our world is being penetrated and pilfered through this type of thing. All you have to do is go to the book of all books called the web. And you get to hear every idiotic, stupid statement that people could ever conjure up on their own. I think the internet is a great thing. And I love to buy online. In fact, I discover so many things that I've just been cheated out of that I'm just possessed to buy them. And so every month, Phyllis and I have this little stop. But on the internet, you can get a divorce. On the internet, you can become ordained. On the internet, you can find truth that far supersedes this. And is verified by millions of hits. The problem is that it's idiots looking for idiots. Amen. Whenever you receive something that cannot be verified by this right here, you and I should have enough sense to draw, to run, to throw the computer out the window, get away from it, because it is after your soul. Now, I'm just telling you, a few months ago, 6 months ago, I had a lady come to me and she said, Pastor, I just don't agree with your preaching that Jesus is the way. I said, okay, well, what do you believe? Well, first of all, I've been studying. I said, okay, where have you been studying? Well, I've been studying on the internet. And I said, okay, bring Bozo World into my world. She begins to tell me that the whole earth is built on catacombs and that there are just literally highways of aliens moving through America. And it's getting so bad that the aliens are leaving by the thousands every day. Oh, no, now listen, stop. You think that's foolishness? Not foolishness at all. She believes what she ate. See, you and I think that when Adam and Eve, or when Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that that's the only tree of knowledge of good and evil that existed. No, not true at all. There are all types of trees of good and evil. Do you know that a man's words out of the abundance of his heart could be an evil tree? And in fact, the root of the conversation of a man, Jesus said, either make the tree good or make it evil. But if the tree is evil and you eat of the fruit, you'll be as evil as the tree. So that's not the only tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That is the first one that brought sin. But many others bring sin too. But anyway, back to this story. She said, and I believe that every religion has their own Messiah. I said, really? Yes. And so I said, and I talked to her, and I gave her about 2 years we dealt on this subject. Me being examined by the internet to whether I was right or whether I was wrong. And so after about 2 years, I said, have you found a church yet? She said, oh, I'm not going to attend church. I said, it'd be my preference that you wouldn't attend this one. Now, the sad thing of it is, I lost her soul. Now, you would say, well, she was just a nut. Well, everybody's a nut once in a while before they become a rooted tree. But I lost that young woman. Really, she wasn't a young woman. She was old enough to retire and so forth. But I lost her because there was no place that she would allow to challenge what she had discovered. Now, you would think that that's weird, but it's not weird. It's no weirder than Christians listening to people that they don't even know. When the Bible says, know those that labor among you. But that's for old folks, and that's old time religion, I guess. Anyway, this is nothing new. We have entered into a time that Paul prophetically told Timothy about, said in the end times, in 2 Timothy 3, there's going to rise up false prophets. Matthew, the 7th chapter, 15 through 19, Jesus told us that there would be false prophets and people will hear them. Hear them. Hear them. Somebody say, hear them. And I have discovered that there are many prophets today that are so involved in things that have nothing to do with Christ or the Word that I think there should be a special category for them on the internet. Because half of what they say are true, and then along saying that, they slide in something that's not. So a few weeks ago, I had an encounter with someone in our church, and they're great people, except they would bring in prophecies, and then as the prophecies were looked at, one prophet said, well, God is always good, so he could not have brought the flood. I said, really? Now, the problem is that people just jump over erroneous, false doctrines like that in order to hear something that means nothing. All you have to do to be a prophet is say something that comes to pass. Yeah, hallelujah. Then another one was, when you go to heaven, you don't go there alone. Because right before you get in the pearly gates, you are presented with your pets. Now you say, oh my God, thank God, heaven, pets are going to heaven. No, the Bible says, oh man, this is a shocker. It can bring tears to the eyes of people that are deceived and connected to things that are not eternal. The Bible said that when an animal dies, that their soul returns to the earth from whence it came. But, look, man, we don't like that, so we're making all dogs go to heaven. Now, that is a pathetic indictment against people being emotionally ruled instead of word ruled. Amen. Now, I know that you love me, and I know you aren't shouting because you're just getting mad. That, you chew it up. Chew it up. But when we sit down and talk, this is what we're going to talk.
And I don't care how stirred you are emotionally or how stirred you are against government, against theory, or against some plan that is trying to get you to pay more taxes or become an illiterate or become a brainless zombie. That is not my job, and it is not your job. Your job, how many of you said that Jesus is Lord? Amen. Then get them up. Let me see them. Then Jesus said, go ye in the world and preach the gospel. Be in the world, but don't be of it. Amen. So why do you clamor and clutter around like Martha, trying to please the crowd, when all you have to do is do what the Bible says? Be an imitator of God. Be a disciple of Christ. But don't be a puppet for anybody else. See, let me say this. I do not owe any allegiance to the Republican Party or its leaders. Amen. They never died for me. Jesus Christ did. Amen. They did not shed their blood for me. Jesus Christ did. They were not laid in a tomb. Jesus Christ was. He rose from the dead. And know this, when they're gone, he is going to return for me. My allegiance is to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to serve him with all my might. Now, these things that we don't think are false doctrines are false doctrines. And the reason that they are so deceptive is because they appear to be so good. Isn't it nice? You get to heaven and Jesus thought so much, he brings in that cat that was run over on the road. And so you got a flat cat. Now, you see how funny that is. And believe me, most Christians have shed more tears for dead cats and dogs than they ever have for a sinner. They're neither male nor female, bond nor free, black or white, Democrat or Republican. We are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. So all this schism that is in the body of Christ about, well, I don't believe Democrats are saved. Well, them Republicans are. You know what? You need to get that stuff. You are just like 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. You're of this house. You're of that house. You're of this house. And you have helped the body of Christ to become crippled, carnal people. Stop. This is nothing but the devil's playground. And we're all dancing to his fiddle. Well, I'm believing so-and-so. I don't care if he comes back, he doesn't come back. I don't care. I'm not here for eternity. I'm waiting for a moment that I will be raised from the dead, joined to my Savior, ever to be with him. And I will be and live forever with my Father. And if anything else you got is more important than that, please find it in the Bible for me. We are polluting, we are defiling, we are corrupting our spirits by nonsense. One of the things about where people speak about leadership and speak about this, and it says in the Bible that they just speak nonsense. You aren't God. How dare you side with something that may not come to pass? How would you be a divisive individual against the kingdom of Almighty God? Have we forgot who we are? Have we forgot who he is? Yeah. You say, oh man, Pastor, you're getting hard. No, I'm not getting hard. I'll tell you what, I'm worn for your soul. The Bible says that, know this, that people are going to creep in, that you aren't even aware of what they're doing. And we're going to accept them. We're going to receive false doctrines. And they are going to corrupt the church. And they are not only without, they come from within. John said, I speak to you of, I think his name, Diotrephes. I speak to you that I am your father. I am the apostle of God. And I wrote to you to receive brothers that come along the way. And he rose up and said, no, we'll not receive them. We're going to go by. And you know what? They accepted him and rejected John. How many of our leaders have we rejected over the centuries that have cried out, wake up? It's time for us to wake up. This is serious stuff. You may not think it's important, but when Jesus says, depart from me, you're a Republican. You have corrupted and divided my church, and there is nothing like my unity left in you. Maybe you'll land beside the rich man, and he can tell you everything that he saw through the thousands of years that he's been waiting in hell to be released in the lake of fire. You say, oh my God, Pastor. No, you don't have to say my God. You don't have to say anything. I'm just telling you what is happening to the entirety of the church of God. And we have picked up piddly, nonsense, four-year term wars that do not belong to us. And if God didn't know who he was supposed to raise up, maybe we better send him a prophecy. I'm telling you. You think I'm kidding you. I'm hitting this hard, and I know some of you about fed up that you like to get up and walk out. That's fine. You know what? I'm used to people walking out. But I'll tell you what, I am not going to change the truth of God. Amen. And if you think I want to repackage it into a bunch of marshmallows, you know what? It's time for us to strive for the unity of the faith. Why will we not be about the Father's purpose when time is so short? I don't want to be lost. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. Hallelujah. And it says, it's Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of his life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace and mercy, peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ. I thank God, whom I serve with my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Hey, wait a second. It's 2 Timothy 4:1, not 1:4. Ah, there I charge thee before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom, Preach the word. Be instant season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou. Somebody say watch. In all things endure affliction, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. And it says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So again, we are warned straightforward, no guesswork. What are we watching for? The entrance of falsehood. Can I have 2 Peter 1? 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Second Peter 2, 1 through 3. Here, David. No, you're too familiar. They'll think you're lying to you. Eric, come up here. Give him a microphone. There. Now, Eric, right there is good enough. Read that.
But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there were also false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction.
Next verse.
And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not.
Wow, did you notice what's in that verse? Damnable heresies. And they are based on one thing, the lust of men or women to entice you to make merchandise of you. Now let me say something to you. I get a salary. It's not based on my mailing list. It's not based on my performance, because I knew I would fail and be broke. But I am here as your pastor. And my greatest job is that when I stand before Christ, I receive for what I've done and the preparation that you have received. But everybody that seeks to get in to somebody's flock, whether via internet or anything else. Now, I know some of you are saying, you mean you want us to listen to nobody? No, I didn't say that at all. I'm telling you, I expect you to prove those. 3 John 9 says that they prat or utter nonsense where there is no resolve of what's right or what's wrong. It's just nonsense. Jude. Let's go to Jude, the 4th chapter. I feel my window close. I'm sorry, 4th verse. Ooh, sorry about that. Frank, stand up here and read this.
You got this, Frank. You got this.
All right, Frank, go ahead. We're going to read down through the 19th verse.
For there are certain men that crept in unawareness who were before the old...
Now, wait a second. How did they get in?
They crept.
Unaware. Like we just become buds.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, man, how you doing? Man, I tell you got the shiniest head I ever saw. I'm telling you, I am impressed. And pretty soon, you are enticed with listening to them. Now, you know why? Because you want to hear something that you think is palatable. your own lust. You want them to agree with you. So anybody that agrees with somebody, what you're thinking, who told you to think beyond the scriptures? No, I'm asking you a question. Who told you to think about things that you do not have any control in, that if God raises up a man and pulls another one down, who are you to think that God is right or wrong? Make your counsel against the wisdom of Almighty God. And don't sell me your shoes, because I don't want them. Now, I'm telling you, this is happening all over. And it happens in our church. And I'm sure that I'm not going to be invited to other churches to say this. And all right, Frank, go ahead.
Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation? Ungodly men.
Now they were ordained. Who do you think ordained deception and heresies? Satan. Do you know that he has captured men and ordained them for a time such as this? Okay, Frank, go ahead.
Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Next verse.
I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not.
So people that are following God can be, because of what they believe, be destroyed. Wow, interesting. What a mean God. Jesus. All right, Frank.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath preserved in everlasting chains into darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, and that in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life. Fire.
Fire, thank you.
Likewise, all of these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee."
Now, let me explain that to you. When he speaks of dignities, places of authority and rule, Michael would not speak of, as we are not to hear an accusation against an elder. Michael trembled at the thought of violating the line that God had already committed to authority to Satan. Okay, Frank?
But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts in the things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in a way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainslaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they without water, carry above about of winds, trees whose fruit wherewith without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them for all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, after their mouth speaketh greatly swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they have told you they were be mockers in the last time, who should walk up after their own ungodly lust. These will be separated themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit.
Thank you, Frank. Hallelujah. We're going to give you the Reader's Trophy of the Week. Hallelujah. Well, I got through page one. But I also know that some of you are biting your tongues off. And that's okay. How do we open ourselves up to such untruthful truths? The first way that we do it is that you and I become offended. Offended. An offense causes stumbling. Matthew 18:4. It says this: if you have a part of your body, your life, that is offended, it doesn't matter what people have done to you. If you are offended, then you cut your eye, your ear, your hands, or your feet off. That's how dangerous offense is. And most offenses have no foundation of life. But they didn't do what I like. So, have you been married? Then get over yourself. Listen, offense causes people to fall. The word offense means a trap, an impediment to cause one to stumble. Is that what we want to be? Do we want to be that?
No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Also, we can get to the point that we become uncontent. You know, there are people that get discontented no matter where you put them. And Paul said, I learned how to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. And sometimes you go through things and you wrestle with things and you hear all of this stuff coming through the airways. I would encourage you to tear that radio out. Turn that TV off and unplug that computer. If it is causing you to be discontent with what God is doing behind the scenes before the moment of His unveiling of His glorious plan, then I encourage you, get away from it, because you're going to have to be content. Third John, when we talked about how that disciple came against John, in other words, he lost respect. The apostle John lost the respect of that assembly. It's not my job to keep respect in your life. It's your job to make sure that I have a place for it. In other words, you are to honor and to respect. John the 8th chapter, you are to hear the truth and continue in it. Continue in it. Remember that you have the word that is able to make you complete
and furnished in every good work. But you're going to have to protect your attitude, your mindset, and these hate moments towards me. And then Psalms 119 and verse 5 says that the word is our light. Nobody else's word, God's word. The Bible says in Psalms 119, how can a man cleanse his ways except by the word of God? Now listen, I am as frustrated as you at the world. But I'm not in it. I belong to the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to let the world frustrate me to the point that I get discontented with the truth. John 2:9, 1 John 2:9, down through 14, it talks about love your brother. And if you can't love your brother, how can you love God whom you can't see? Now, love doesn't speak evil. Love believes the best. Now, how many of us have fell short at the cash register of love? All of us have. And I'm telling you, that's not acceptable to God. James 1:22 tells us, be you doers of the word and not hearers only. It's time to quit religious charades. How many of you believe Jesus is going to come back? I believe he's coming back at any moment and at any time. I do believe that. And I believe that I must be prepared and my lamps must be filled. First Thessalonians 5:21 says this, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. That takes personal judgment. That takes, if you see your brother sin a sin, that you go out and you bring him in. Remember, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. The first commandment is just like it. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. I thought about preaching this in the Methodist church. I sent them my notes and they said, maybe later. And then I considered, since I had nobody else to preach it to, I would preach it to you. Listen, I want you to go to heaven. I want you to be strong lights to the world. And when we are speaking the same rhetoric as the people around us, we have lost our witness. Amen. Folks, it's my job to warn you. Amen. And I feel the weight of how you feel. But we're going to go on and we're going to change. Could it get an amen? Amen? Yep, we are going to change. You are my brother and you are my sister. And I am your pastor. And Paul said, though I love you more, and the more that I love you, the more that I am hated. He gave his life for the churches that he wrote to. Yet they misunderstood him and hated him. Now I want to tell you something. I believe in what I told you, and it is time for all of us, including me, to get down to being a real Christian. Amen?
Praise God. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I did just what you wanted me to do. I'm satisfied with what I said and how I said it. And God, I'm satisfied that the word will not return void. It will transform us, sanctify us, cleanse us, and make us more fruitful. Now, God, there's not one person under the sound of my voice that I believe has done anything, nor heard anything, nor accepted anything on purpose to offend you whatsoever. And God, I know that you are merciful to all of us. And God, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you, God, that you are long-suffering. I thank you, God, that you understand that we don't always walk or be led of the Holy Ghost. But God, let the word today resonate in us. Let it shape us in a way that it has never done before. God, I'm reminded of the old preachers that would say, I can hear the rustling of the chariots. I can hear the tightening of the saddle. I sense that there is a great breaking forth of God's glory. Father, I believe in an end time revival. And I believe, God, in the end time church being without spot and blame. God, we set our faces towards heaven, much as Stephen did. And God, we see Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. There is an appointed time, God. Make us ready. Make us ready. And God, we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And I'm Pastor Dosak, and I approve of this message. Hallelujah. Praise God. See you Wednesday evening.